In this episode, you'll discover three not-so-obvious mindset shifts you need to make to break past 5,000 monthly downloads in the next 6 months. Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast. Hello, my name is Anthony Wineri.
I'm Targ O'Shea.
And in this episode, you'll discover why trying to get more exposure and reach for your podcast is the exact thing causing slow growth.
What you can learn from our failed book launch about podcast growth.
And finally, the secret ingredient in your podcast content that's keeping you under 5,000 monthly downloads. Welcome back to another Thursday episode where we share with you stories, break down marketing principles, and give you actionable strategies to grow and monetize your podcast way faster.
Most podcasters go through the motions for years, but never manage to get the growth or monetization that they deserve or are looking for because they are thinking about how they grow and therefore monetize their podcast in a completely false premise that doesn't allow them to break past their ceiling, whether that's 1,000 downloads a month, 2,000 downloads a month, or even simply if you can't break past 500 downloads a month. It's likely because the way you're thinking about growing your podcast has some flaws in it.
And today we want to help you identify some of those simple shifts that you can make in order to grow your podcast way faster. And the game here, hopefully, is that once you see this, you can't unsee it. So shift number one is going from a podcaster who's focusing on generating attention for your podcast versus someone who's focused on capturing attention that already exists.
Generating attention versus capturing attention. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, that is correct.
What's the difference?
Generating attention versus capturing attention. Well, look, I think an easy way to tell a difference is by actually a funny story about my brother. I say funny, it's quite funny. Part of it is a bit sad, part of it is a bit inspiring. It's a mix, right? But 2 years ago, my brother decided to essentially quit his full-time work being a physiotherapist. He had gone to university for around 6 years, studied, got his degree, and then was working full-time for 2 years. And at this point, he was basically getting sick of working in a cubicle, seeing the same kinds of people. And whilst he enjoyed his work, he wasn't really feeling fulfilled. He would look online, see a bunch of people traveling the world, making money, having tons of freedom, whilst he felt kind of just trapped in the 9-to-5 that didn't really feel right for him. So he decided to call it quits and go all in on starting an online coaching business all around health and fitness. And for him, part of the strategy that he needed to really crack, Tig, was how can he attract clients using Instagram social media? And what he tried to do for like 12 months was the craziest stunts. Like, I mean, I'm talking about recording himself doing backflips at the gym, then himself lifting stupid heavy weights. He would do the most ridiculous things, all in the name of generating attention online. And then one day out of the blue, he rings me, slightly disheartened, and tells me how he had been an idiot. And I was like, nah, dude, you've not been an idiot. Like, you know, you've gone for your dream, you're going for it. Things are hard in business, but don't self-doubt yourself. And he paused and said, no, you moron, I'm an idiot because the way I've been approaching my social media strategy is all wrong. I've been trying to generate attention online. I'm like, yeah, isn't that what you're meant to do? And he goes, well, that's what I thought we were meant to do, but I've been trying to do that this entire time and it's not been working. However, I had a video that went viral recently. And I was like, really, how so? And he said, yeah, the video went viral and all I did was look at what my audience, people who are into health and fitness, what are the videos that we're already consuming? And then all I need to do was put my own spin on those types of videos in order to capture their attention. So rather than trying to be new and do some crazy thing that I thought was impressive, I just pinpointed what my audience were already consuming. So at this point, I'm intrigued thinking, okay, that kind of makes sense, but what video did you do? Turns out he did a very simple, budget-friendly shop with me video. And that ended up going viral. He got around 41,000 views on the short, more than he'd ever got for the last 12 months. And he actually started landing clients from that single video. So what's the point here? Well, the point is, Tig, most podcasts are doing a similar thing to my brother. They have a podcast and they're trying to post on social media constantly. they have a podcast and they try to invite guests onto their podcast to generate loads of attention. When instead, the mindset shouldn't be, how do I put this thing out there that's my own and then generate attention for it? Instead, how can I pinpoint areas and places or topics that my audience are already constantly engaging with? And how do I position myself in front of them? How do I capture the attention that already exists? Now, I think a lot of people might be thinking, this sounds great, but what does this practically look like? So I guess, like, what is a practical example of what this looks like in a podcast setting?
Well, a really big shift that our clients make in the Get More Listeners Academy to go from trying to generate attention from scratch versus capturing where attention already is and kind of riding that, like you say, is the shift from trying to get big guests on to their own podcast to essentially start a fire on their own show and generate some attention from scratch versus going and being a guest on a big podcast in their niche, which means that the fire, so to speak, is already burning because their audience is already there. There are already people engaged right there on that platform, and you're just putting yourself in front of it and you're just getting onto where that attention already is. Now, some people might think, well, but the big guest already has attention, right? Yeah, but on your podcast, if your podcast doesn't currently have attention, you're trying to generate attention on your own podcast. The fire isn't burning on your show. You're bringing something over, hoping it will make it burn. Whereas if you guest on a podcast, you are taking yourself over to a fire that's already burning and, you know, throwing yourself in for the sake of growing your audience, which sounds like a sacrifice, but it's actually a good thing and a lot of fun too.
And look, that is a huge mindset shift that will help you honestly shortcut your way to faster growth, because you're no longer trying to do the hard work yourself. You're just figuring out, again, what's the easiest and fastest way for me to grow, which is going where the attention already is. So that's the first mindset shift, Tyke. What is the second not so obvious shift that if someone makes, they'll actually break past 5,000 monthly downloads and grow way faster?
The second shift is from thinking, okay, you make a podcast, then market it, to viewing it as you make a podcast that markets itself. So again, most people have the mindset of make your podcast, create your podcast, launch your podcast, then market that thing. Whereas the mindset should shift to create a podcast that markets itself. Like, the fundamental creation and concept of the show should already market itself, not you just make something that isn't marketable and then try and market it. And most people don't grow their podcast because they make something and just assume it's marketable by default. You have to design the show with built-in marketability in mind to have something that really markets itself. And if you just try and market something that isn't really marketable, then it's always going to be an uphill battle.
Interesting. I guess you have a practical example again of what this looks like, because high level, I kind of get it, I think, and I'm sure others will be feeling the exact same. So I'd love to know, like, how did we come to this realization of you can't just have a show then try to market it? You have to have a podcast that kind of markets itself. Do you have like a practical example of when we had this realization?
For sure. Back in the day, meaning at the start of this decade, meaning in 2020, 2021, we were earning our stripes, right? We were testing out all of our growth strategies, kind of like mad scientists, and all different shows, all different backgrounds, all different niches.
And truth be told, we had no idea what we were doing in terms of growing shows. This was us basically figuring out our own shit through trial and error.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, needless to say, it went relatively well, otherwise we wouldn't be here today. But of course, like, it was still trial and error. There were just so many bumps along the road and a lot of things that didn't work. And a lot of the things that did go well were short-lived. And examples would be, we would work with a podcaster, help them with their SEO, which, you know, we're only just figuring out. And the numbers would actually grow higher than they'd ever seen before. But then a few months later, they would start to dwindle again. Or we would help someone grow on social media. And we don't even do that anymore, by the way. But we used to use social media because we thought you had to. Like everyone else, we were in the social media rat race. And some clients saw some growth from that for their podcast. Again, it was short term. But others just didn't really see any growth at all. And it was all just very, very inconsistent, which made it so frustrating. We didn't really know what was working and what wasn't. It just seemed like random patterns. Some things would work short term. Some things would work long term. Some things would work for one person. Some things would not for another. We're just trying to make sense of it all. Until one day, we tried one of our usual strategies, a social media strategy, on a podcaster called Kian. And Kian had a podcast called Dickheads of History.
You know what? Still to this day, obviously it's very crude, but a fantastic name, isn't it? Dickheads of History. It works super well.
It does. Now, maybe the name even intrigues you just a little bit upon hearing it. Kian's show was not just your ordinary interview-based podcast. It was a podcast where he did 10-minute bite-sized solo episodes, each focused on a famous person from history who is typically viewed as good or positive, and kind of broke down why they were actually a pretty shady character or pulled out the skeletons in their closet. So, you know, there was a natural drama element, a natural controversy baked in, the type of thing people like. It was really, really bingeable. They were like short, bite-sized solo episodes, easy to consume, each one about someone famous, each one interesting, pulling back the layer, kind of showing a different side of them. And the show just absolutely kicked off. And I think he grew from 500 to 7,000 downloads in like 2 months or something crazy like that, which is still to this day some of the fastest growth we've seen from less than 1,000 downloads a month. And at first, we just thought, whoa, like the social media strategy is really working for Kian. You know, he made a post talking in part about his podcast, and he got like 400 comments on it and counting. And as you can you imagine making a post about your podcast in your niche and getting hundreds and hundreds of people commenting on it? Like that's pretty rare, right? That's pretty exciting. And at first we thought, okay, yeah, good, this is going great. Like lucky stuff. But then we realized that this show just markets itself for the reasons that I shared before. You know, it's a really marketable concept. It's something new, something exciting, something different in a landscape of hour-long weekly interview-based shows. This guy was just doing something completely different with a really fun new twist on it as well. And this show just markets itself. And in this case, the social media strategy we did was just fuel on the fire, to use the old fire analogy again. We weren't trying to start a fire, right? Because the podcast as a concept was already hot and already burning. Hope that's making sense. Hope that's landing with you. This is really when we realized that we had been trying to market podcasts that were not that marketable at their core. And it's not that they weren't good podcasts, they were, but they needed some work on their strategy and their foundations and their overall things like their name, things like their concept, things like their content format, all needed more polishing to get to the point where they could actually go viral and sustain that growth from social media or from SEO or anything like that. And from that point onwards, we really realized that you don't just make a podcast and then market it and have it grow regardless of if the podcast is marketable or not. You need to make a podcast that markets itself from the start. And again, most podcasters really struggle to grow because they just make a podcast and just assume it's going to be marketable. But that is not the case. And if you've experienced slow growth or stagnant growth or even declining growth, you'll know that's the case. You will know that you've seen this truth for yourself. There's way too much of the same type of podcasts. And if this was 2016, 2017, you could just make a podcast and then market it and it would work because you're one of a kind. It's not the case anymore. That is how you grow the show, not just by making something and then applying marketing tactics to it afterwards.
So shift number one, stop focusing on generating attention and start focusing on capturing attention. Shift number two, which sounds super simple, is don't just create a podcast and try marketing it. Create a podcast that markets itself. Make your life a lot easier by, again, creating a show that's unique, that stands out, that feels fresh and new in your market. And then mindset shift number three. Now, this one is going to be pretty straightforward. The shift is going from providing generic value to providing specific solutions. Now, what we mean is most podcasters, again, have a podcast and they cover a bunch of topics. Most of the time, these topics are under an umbrella, maybe health and fitness, maybe business, maybe marketing. The point is they're general shows covering a general topic. Now, the issue with this is when you have a general show, it's very hard for you to actually stand out in the market, number one. But number two, when you have a general show, it's way harder for new listeners to be able to essentially say, hey, this podcast is certainly something for me. And oftentimes, when that's the case, it makes it way harder to actually grow and gain traction and engage the right people. I remember for me and Tig, 5 years ago now, when we first got into the podcasting space, have the brilliant idea to publish books around podcasting. And we thought it was going to be a cool idea to publish a book all about every podcaster's biggest hurdles. We thought there's loads of podcasters out there. They struggle with mental hurdles, maybe anxiety, analysis paralysis, overthinking, imposter syndrome, a bunch of different stuff. Anyways, we thought we were geniuses.
And we had some validation to back up our claims. We actually spent a lot of time, really a lot of time, you might have heard us say before in other episodes, talking to thousands of podcasters. And of course, in the first few months of this book creation, hundreds alone. And people would say, yeah, no, I have had imposter syndrome. And then another would say, yeah, I do sometimes get analysis paralysis. So we thought, great, perfect. Yeah, everyone does have these hurdles, so we'll make a book about them.
And that's exactly what we did. And we named it Every Podcaster's Biggest Hurdles. So we published a book after months on end of research, creating the book, writing it, and spending thousands on it as well. We published a book and we essentially had like a couple of sales. The book made basically no money, which at the time was pretty frustrating, slightly embarrassing, and a bit triggering, to be honest with you, because we genuinely believed it was going to perform super well, and it didn't. Kind of like when you have a really good podcast episode that you thought was going to absolutely smash it because you had an amazing conversation with a guest, for the episode to basically either flop or perform like your typical episode. Only this time, for us, we lost like 6+ months of our time and thousands in terms of an actual budget.
Yeah.
Anyways, the book didn't do well, whereas we had another book that we put out, thankfully, basically at the same time, called Podcasting Made Simple. Now, that book became a bestseller, sold thousands of copies, and was actually the book that gave us our credibility within the podcasting space. So how come we had one book that did really shit and then another book that did really well? Well, after analyzing it, we realized that Every Podcaster's Biggest Hurdles was very general and generic, and it just had general topics it was speaking about. Again, mental hurdles for podcasters. Whereas Podcasting Made Simple solved a very clear, very specific problem for a very specific type of person. Someone who's a beginner podcaster who wants to launch a podcast. That's it. Very simple, very clear. We knew what the problem was. So it made it way easier to market. Now we see the exact same trends with the clients we help grow. They often come to us with general shows. For example, one of our clients, Brie, she had a general podcast about relationships, and then we eventually got her to niche down to become more specific around the problem. Now look, the thing was with the book Every Podcast's Biggest Hurdles, it was general, right? It covered a bunch of different mental hurdles. Like one person might have had analysis by paralysis, but they might not have suffered with imposter syndrome. For another person, they might have had like anxiety about what other people might think, but they didn't care about a different mental hurdle. But we tried to squeeze all of that.
Which meant that for any given single reader, the book was, at best, only a couple of chapters of the 10-chapter book were actually relevant to them. And you wouldn't buy a book if only one or two chapters were relevant to you, right? So now you can see the big flaw in our thinking that I mentioned before. We were like, great, one person said imposter syndrome. Oh, this other person said paralysis. Yeah, these are all problems. Yeah, but not all for the same person. And when you put all those things in one product, then it just makes a watered down, irrelevant product for any individual person.
And look, we're sharing this because it was a painful mistake that we made and we've had to learn the hard way. And we see so many of our clients who come to us in a spot where they have general podcasts. I remember one of our clients called Ben. He'd been podcasting for 2 years, stuck below 500 monthly downloads, and his podcast was called Unchained from 9 to 5. He covered essentially personal development topics, a wide range of them, and then he also spoke about business as well. Now, when we started working together, we knew that that was going to be an issue for him because, again, he had a very generic value show, and we needed to position him as a very specific solution show, you know, position this podcast as something that's solving a painful problem. Now, what that meant for him was we tightened the show and completely revamped it, making it focus on helping self-employed electricians save money and reduce stress. That was it. That was the main thing we focused on. And we launched a new show called Toolbox Talks for Electricians. That was the main purpose. That show in 90 days went from 0 to 5,000 monthly downloads because it was clear, specific, and because it wasn't just a generic value show anymore. That's the shift that you have to make on your journey if you want to grow way faster. And it really can be that easy once you make that mindset shift.
And it's really easy to do as well. You can put yourself in the mind of one single person who has one type of problem they're struggling with and look at all of your episodes as a collective and think, okay, they would listen to this one, but would the same person listen to this one? Right now, would they have a pressing need to listen to this one? And the next one, and the next one? And most of the time, you'll find that that's actually not the case. And that's one of the biggest reasons why people's numbers are behind download ceilings, because the same people are not coming back for more. And so even if you get new listeners, old ones leave too, and you're stuck where you are. But you can fix that today by going from generic value to specific solutions.
Now look, if this episode hit home and you're actually ready to turn these mindset shifts into real momentum, into growth for your podcast, there's one thing you'll need to do next. And that is the ability to keep listeners hooked on your show once they actually find you. Because here's the truth. If you focus on capturing attention instead of generating it, if you make a podcast that markets itself and can gain traction, and if you make a podcast that is positioned to solve a very specific problem, you still need to ensure you have your podcast set up in the right way to keep those new listeners coming back for more. And that's why we put together a free guide called 7 Effective Ways to Keep Listeners Hooked. It's a quick, very practical breakdown of how to instantly improve your listener retention so you grow way faster, keep way more of your listeners engaged for longer without needing to promote more on social media. So you can go to the show notes down below, click the first link that you see, and grab the 7 Effective Ways to Keep Listeners Hooked playbook. Or visit getmorelisteners.com/keeplisteners hooked and grab your free playbook. With that being said, we'll catch you in the next episode.
See you Monday.